Given to us, and for those of you who are taking the title, we're calling this very simply, you have a new name. You have a new name. And as we just look at this evening, we bear in mind what the Lord said to the church at Philadelphia, that you have a new name written in heaven. That's one of the promises to the overcomers. And of course, that new name for us in this life is the name of Jesus. But I want us to turn to John chapter 1, verse 42. John chapter 1 and verse 42. And here it's dealing in the context of where Jesus is calling his disciples to come and follow him. And in verse 42, he says here to Peter, and he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus looked at him, he said, you are Simon, the son of Jonah. You shall be called Cephas, which is translated a stone. And of course, the Lord kept to that. He knew what he was saying. There is a foreknowledge of God speaking there, because some few years later, we see what Jesus said to Simon Peter, upon this rock I will build my church, my ecclesia, my called out ones. So, what is the Lord saying here about this, that you have a new name? Well, God writes his new name on those areas where the cross is doing its work. Because we're called, each of us, to take up our own cross daily and follow the Lord. And we know that the nature of the cross is to deal with self. It's to deal with you. It's to deal with where we are still trying to survive. We're still trying to fight. We're fighting to live, where we're still rebelling against God. The nature of the cross is to deal with all that, so that we are indeed those vessels crucified, experiencing through the death the resurrection life of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because of his fullness we've all received, but that is the only way the fullness of God can and will manifest through each one of us. But the question is that God writes his name, this new name, in those areas that he's working with. And we don't have a new name where there is pride, self-sufficiency, or that independent spirit, or where we have our own interests, our own self-interests, other than God. In all these areas, there is no new name that is written, and it can't be. There's no way God can. And like when he called the disciples and he called Peter, he was going to make a new man, a new creation out of him. And the same with each of us. And if we let him, he will do this. This is why we're in the process in this life of being saved. God working with us. And we need to think on that, because this is something that's avoided very often. We all like to look to the fact that by faith we are saved, that it is sealed, it is settled in heaven, of which indeed it is. But there's the other aspect of salvation, the other side of the coin, that each day we work out our own salvation in fear and trembling, and that we overcome in this life. And that is the aspect of where we are being saved. And this is why I'm convinced, sadly, that we have a lot who profess Christ as their Lord and Savior, but in actual fact are not really saved. So it is important that this new name that we have is written in these areas that God indeed is working on. You see, some of us only have a new name written in certain areas. You see, the good areas, they look fine, don't they? When we're in a good mood, when we feel spiritual, and everything's going our way, and so on. But look at me when I'm in a bad mood. Look at me when I don't feel very spiritual, or I've fallen short of the high calling. You see, we don't want to look at that side. But that's the very areas where God is writing that new name. And you see, a true disciple is one who has his new name written in every area, because the cross has dealt with it. And this can only be achieved when we settle the cross. And sadly, some still have not settled the cross in their lives, because their lives display it. It's shown when those trials come. And it's a clue of how we're hearing the word of God. When we have these areas where we know they are wrong and we're not dealing with them, that is a clear sign you're not hearing God's word. You may listen every day to teaching, but you may not necessarily be listening in the heart. Many religious people go through the rituals of doing outwardly the right thing. Probably a lot of religious people would outwardly put us to shame. But sadly, there's no new name written in their life. And that's the tragedy. It's those who humbly bow the knee, who listen to that word and desire that word to change our lives, to conform us to the image. And of course, we know how this is achieved by indeed with each of us settling our cross, which we are to take up also and follow the Lord. You see, this walk is much simpler than we think. When the cross is not in your life, this walk becomes complicated. And the reason it becomes complicated, because your pride, your unbelief, your problems get in the way of God. And that's what complicates it. And do you know who uses that to complicate it? Yes, you guess, the enemy. That is what Satan does. That's the nature of demons. Demons complicate. Demons try to work fear and unbelief. They try to play havoc, blow everything out of proportion. And of course, that's what we see, don't we, in society today. We hear it in the news, whatever it is. So often, it's small, trivial things that can create a turmoil. Many wars through the generations, when you read in history, start from something very minor, very minuscule, And you cannot believe what that can and has created. Because that is what the enemy does. And it's what he will do in Christians' lives if they're not fully consecrated to the Lord. Your life becomes complicated. But God never called us to a complicated walk with God. How do I know? Well, let's turn to Matthew 11 and verse 28. Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28. Because in the whole context of Matthew 11, from verse 25 through to 30, he speaks about the believer's rest. That rest also that we have by faith. We have a rest because he doesn't place ungodly burdens on us. Salvation is not a burden. It is a burden to the proud, to the arrogant, to those who resist and don't want to obey. Then it becomes a burden because they can't see. They're fighting against God. But to those who are yielding, it's not a burden. And what does he say here in verse 28? Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And what is the word here? It's very simply, come. This word come also means, in a sense, to attain. It's by coming, as you come to God, so it attains, it works. He brings you to that place through that rest, that peace, that joy that you have in the Holy Ghost with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the idea of come. And so this is where sin and unbelief stop, right at the door, with that one word, come. And your whole life and what you face in that come to me, are our Lord's words, aren't necessarily in what he says to come to me to do this or to do that, or we'll try this, or if you pray more, or if you read the word more, or if you get up early every morning at 5 o'clock in the morning and seek me for prayer and intercession, then you will come to me. Now, we're not saying that those don't have a place, but so often we use that as a substitute. Because we're trying to come to God, but we're trying to come to him through the flesh, through good works. We're trying to come to him because we can't face the fact that there's unbelief, rebellion in our lives. And you never will come in that way. Unless we bow that knee in complete prostration before the Lord, we're never going to come to him in the manner that he calls us to. Because he says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. His rest is his presence, his forgiveness, the blood of Christ that atones. It's that rest, that peace that's so vital to the believer. And yet you've got so many professing Christians who don't have that rest, that peace in their life. You can see it, you can hear it, and the way they walk. That's never how God has saved us. He's not saved us for that. And so he says that our desires are to follow him. My life is to follow him. It's not about what I'm doing. It's about a desire. It's about an affection. And when we just come, that word come, sin will be brought into complete harmony with the will of God. And you're going to find that you will cease from sinning on that simple word, come. And that's what God is saying tonight. And that's why we miss it. Because it actually is that simple. But we have made it complicated. Unbelief makes it complicated. When we take our eyes off the Lord, it complicates it. The moment you are looking to self, your problems, your needs, it complicates your life, your walk, your confession, everything with the Lord. This is why he's constantly reminding us to have the faith of a child. A child just comes to mother and father. A child expects those things from a mother and father. It doesn't question. And this is what God is trying to work in each and every one of us. This simple childlike faith which simply says, come. And this will deal with every situation, problem, sin in our lives. Because you will find him. That's why. This is where he's to be found, by that simple word, come. What is your problem? Why are you complicating it? That's what he says. But it's no good trying to make excuses. Well, I can't come to you because so-and-so has hurt me. Or I've had a bad day at work. Or whatever it would be. These are all the excuses. You can't come to God on those conditions. He simply says, just come. And he will deal with the rest. His presence will deal with the rest. But we're not always willing to do that. Because pride won't do that. Pride stops you from coming as a child with simple faith before him in his presence. You see, so often we let stubbornness keep us away, don't we? You see, it's interesting, but Jesus actually is our test. This is the test of our faith right here. He simply says to come. And he wants to write that new name on us in every area of our life so that we are that new creation experientially, walking in the victory that Christ wrought for us at the cross, moving into the greater works that we believe are there, seeing breakthroughs in our lives, those things that we are believing for. It's simply on that basis of come. And when he says come, it isn't to so that he's going to cuddle you or put you to bed or sing a song to you or give in to you what you want. It's to get you out of your unbelief. It's to get you out of yourself. It's to get you away from depression, those things that are hindering your faith with God. That is what this is about. This simple word to come is actually about delivering you, delivering us. And he's not going to mollycoddle us. He's not going to give in to our weaknesses. He's not going to give in to any trial that any of us are going through. And believe me, some of us are. But he's not even going to give in to that. As horrendous as it could be, it's not what it's about. He is going to honor, respect that coming with that simple childlike faith. That is what he's looking for. And it's to get you out of yourself, your depression, whatever it is that's hindering you, to get self out of the way, so that he can put that new song in your life. So that he can work, so that he can work with your confession. He can bring your confession lining up with his word, confessing his word. He can bring your mind and heart and spirit in tune with him. And that whatever you go through, you count it all joy, knowing that God's working everything together for good in your life. Knowing that whatever trial you go through, it's not even going to take God by surprise. He's trying to bring everything into harmony with his will, who lives in and through you. But we resist it. I said to you, Jesus is our test here. And sometimes we don't realize he's the one that we're actually fighting against. Oh, we're very good at calling the devil this, and the devil's done that, and so forth. And yes, of course he does. But very often for the overcomer, our biggest test is Jesus. Because he's saying, come. But we don't want to come. And the reason we don't want to come, because we still want God on our own terms and conditions. Now, we may not be saying that vocally, but our trials tell us if that's the case or not. This is why I keep saying, this is why God permits and allows Christians to go through trials, because they clearly tell us where we are. And you will soon see in your trial if you have come to God or not. And if you're not, you're resisting, then a new name in that area has to be written. And he'll write it if you want him to. He'll change you just like he did with Peter and all the disciples and every saint that he works with. It is a miracle how he changes and works with this old clay, which is fundamentally what we are. But he'll do it. Why? To deliver us, so that he can put that new song within us. But we like to wallow, don't we, in our sufferings. Poor old me. We like to play the victim. We like to let everyone know, I've been hurt. I've been misused. And so it goes on. And how we can play the victim. And yet there's no cross there. Maybe we are going through a trial. Even Jesus was ridiculed. Even Jesus was lied, spat upon, rejected by his own people. But the Bible tells us he went as a lamb to the slaughter. He never tried to justify. He never tried to change the situation. Why? Because he had come to his Father. He had left his Father, divested himself, and he knew he was going back. And that was his vision. That was his rest. That was his call, and so on. And it's principally the same how it works with each one of us. We know where we're destined. We know where we're going. We know that we're only simply passing through this life, this world. We know that all the blessings we have and the material things we have are temporal. They're going to pass away. Those things, you need to have a good look around you. Have a good look at the room that you're in. All the things you can see, you can touch, it's all going to pass away. But God's word will never pass away. And you're simply passing through. Your eternal abode is in above, it's in heaven. Because it's based on the word, come. Come to me. But we still hold back. We still make excuses. We still wallow in our sufferings and our unbelief, and that's what it will do. Where there's no new areas written in your life, you will still wallow in it and be held by depression and unbelief and disappointment. Jesus' name must be written over all of us. And how is that achieved? Simply says, come. That's where his new name is to be found. What does it say in Psalm 40 and verse 3? Psalm 40 and verse 3. He has put a new song in my mouth. Praise to our God. Many will see it and fear and will trust in the Lord. And this is where it's speaking about the psalmist, where faith perseveres in trials, stays with it, because the trial is putting a new song into our mouth and praise to our God. What does it mean by that? Does it mean that your trial, you suddenly start singing and praising the Lord and lift your hands? Well, that can happen. But it means more than that. It means that you are coming to God. You're simply coming with that childlike faith. And it means that He's changing your confession. He's changing your thinking, your mind. He's touching you, even in the depths of your trial. This is how God does it. Only God can do that. And He brings us out of that miry clay. And He sets our feet upon a rock. And He establishes our steps. That's what it does when He puts a new song within our mouth. Praise to our God. And He says not only that, but many will see it and fear. It means that it will be a witness. It means that it will be powerful. They will see something about you. That you stand. You're standing through trials. You're standing through the tests. Because God's put that new song within you. He's written His name on you. And it's very powerful. They will see it and fear. And will trust in the Lord. So, you affect other people. What God does through you speaks to other people. And that's effective. You see, people know when a Christian is going through a real trial. They can see it. They know. And when they can see that they're still holding on and believing and trusting God, that is powerful. And it's a great witness. And it shows that God is with them. God is bringing them through. Sadly, we've got so many believers who are running away every time a trial comes. Our trial and what we go through is very, very powerful. If we want to see power in these last days, and indeed we do, we cannot get away from the fact that much of the power also is connected with the fact of how the overcomers overcome, how the church stands through trial. That reveals the power of God in these last days, and indeed He will and is. So, you have to have that new name. And that new name is going to have to be written in every area of your life, my life, and all those that love Jesus. Because that's where He's changing us. And He's showing us this evening how this is achieved and done. He's actually unraveling a lot of complications that some of us may still have on board, how that we can just get rid of it all and simply come to Him. Now, when we say come, it doesn't mean that you're coming with your long list of problems, which is so often what we do. We come with our list before Him, or we're griping and moaning that this is happening, and why isn't this happened, and so it goes on and everything. That's not what He says. He says to simply come. So often a child comes to mother and father and doesn't say an awful lot. They just come because they trust them. And to know that they will be fed and nurtured and looked after. And so that is the attitude and spirit that we come before God. I come before you as I am. No strings, nothing. Just I come into your presence. And by your grace and love and mercy, you receive me. That is how I come. And that is how God wants to get us in this walk. He wants to get us to such a place that we're not still coming under conditions. I'll come before you if you bless me. I'll come before you if you buy that new car for me. Or whatever it would be. That isn't what we're talking about. It's just simply coming before God and let God write His new name in every area and facet of our life and being, and just letting Him do it. That is the sign of faith. That's the true test of simply coming before God. Nothing else. Just to come as we hear Him call us, just to come. See, He showed that, didn't He, to Peter. And Peter came out of the boat. He said, come. And he walked on the water until he looked. And of course he saw the water was boisterous and turbulent, and indeed it was. And immediately he began to sink. We know the story so well. And Jesus didn't commend him, he rebuked him. But he was showing how simple it is when we respond to that simple word, come. I'm reminded of the raising of Lazarus. He used that word again, come, come forth. And he came back from the dead. I don't think, when I was thinking on this and preparing this, I thought, there's nothing simpler than this, to just simply the word come. It's the most uncomplicated thing, but we can't handle it. We can't control it. It's just too simple for me to just respond to that word come. And yet that's what He says, and says to everyone. This is what He said to the disciples, come, follow me. Didn't say any more, didn't show what was going to happen or whatever it would be, and they simply left everything as we're told in Scripture, and they followed Him on that word, come, come follow. This is why our lives at times have not been as they should be, as things have gone wrong when they shouldn't have gone wrong. Nothing should go wrong for the believer if they respond simply by faith on that simple word to come. Because it then means in all those areas in our lives He's inscribing, writing a new name. Because we're a new creation. With that clay in the potter's hands being molded and shaped into the image of Christ. It's all so easy, and yet we make it so complicated. And we know why that happens, because we're listening too much to the devil. We listen too much to his lies. And the reason we still listen to his lies, because fear will do that. Fear has torment, the Bible says. And the moment that you are listening to the enemy and your confession's not lining up with God's word, you've got fear that is attached to that. There's no new name inscribed there. God can't touch you in that area until everything has changed. The confession has changed. Obedience to what the Holy Spirit is saying. See, the Holy Spirit is saying everything to each one of us, all in different areas. There's obedience He's requiring of each and every one of us, but we're still, some of us are fighting against that obedience in just bowing the knee, yielding to Him, where He's simply saying, come. But we're going to do it our way, or in my time, or whatever it would be. And so we find that we're being robbed. We're not finding that peace that we should have with the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, our walk with the Lord should not be a drudge. It's the best thing that can ever happen to our lives. It completely changes us. You can never be the same anymore. Your life is dramatically changed, turned around, inside out, a complete turning around. That's what it's all about when you follow the Lord. on that simple word, come. And yet, we cannot let go. There's still those areas that we want to feel safe by, just in case for a rainy day or whatever it would be. But you see, God's burning all our bridges. That's the wonderful thing about this. We put our hands to the plow, we're going forward, and what we don't realize is that all the ground behind us that we're walking, God's burning that all up. And thank God that He is, because all of that is history, is past. This is why it's new manna, new bread each day. Each day is a new faith walk with the Lord. Each day is where you meet with God. And He speaks. And He does everything that He does. That's what this walk is about. You have to let the past go. The blood of the Lamb is there to deal with the past. That is the wonderful blessing of the blood of Jesus. The enemy wants to remind the past. The enemy wants to hold you in condemnation over the past. But the good news of the gospel is there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. And there you settle it. And people who still have a problem with that, that is their problem. It is sad, but it is a fact. There is no condemnation to us if we walk each day and we meet the Lord in that day and we hear that simple word, come. Because that is where you have a new name written into your life. A new name written in those areas. A new name when fear has gone, or unbelief has gone, or doubt has gone, or where you're still just disobeying, or there's that reluctance to bow the knee, or stubbornness. When that goes, you have that new name. It's written there. These are the promises, brothers and sisters. Let's make our walk simple. Don't complicate it. Life's too complicated as it is. Don't make it worse for yourself. Let Him unravel anything that is still complicated in your life, in your mind, in your thinking or your circumstances. He can and He will do it simply on the basis, come. Heavenly Father, we thank You again tonight that You have spoken healing, deliverance, salvation into our lives, into our soul. Lord, You've shown us clearly how this walk is not complicated. And Father, forgive us because we have complicated it. We've still tried to get our mind, our intellect, our logic in the way. We will never understand Your ways. We cannot work out Your ways. All these things are forbidden. We're to trust You each day as we wake up and we walk with Jesus. And Father, we do rejoice and thank You that we have those new names written in heaven. And Father, that You are writing those new names now into our being, into our life, where we're yielding and bowing the knee, because we're a new creation, made new before You. Father, help us to keep that simple childlike faith, that our eyes are firmly fixed on You as a child is to its mother. That is not complicated. That is simple. Because You said, Lord, that if we do that, then You've said that in Your word, come to Me all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And He also says, doesn't He, that take My yoke upon you and learn from Me, for I am gentle, lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Father, in your mercy and grace, make that a reality for all of us. Put that new song within our mouths and our hearts, that our life, our confession, our walk, all of it lines up with the word of God, your will, obeying you. So Father, we thank you tonight for this meeting. Thank you that you make it possible. Thank you that you still meet with us even through using technology. I pray you'll bless, preserve and keep all my brothers and sisters. Keep them from the evil one, from temptations. Keep them covered by the blood of the Lamb always. And above all, that simple childlike faith as we've heard tonight. For this we ask, Lord Jesus, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
Washed us in his word.